Welcome into the Kurt Landry Podcast, where we're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and in this episode, it's a very, very special one. It's a testimonial type of episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. Tons of biblical meaning in terms of living and wisdom that goes along with it. Rabbi Kurt's going to be interviewing and visiting a longtime friend, longtime House of David member here in Oklahoma, Randy Williams. Randy has an incredibly powerful testimonial that you want to pay attention to, right? You want to dive in, make sure that when you start this episode that you finish it all the way through. I'm really, really excited for you to listen to this conversation. But before I toss it over to this conversation, I want to give you a reminder. Hey, if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you so much for spending time with us on YouTube. Just do us a favor, hit the subscribe button. Also, hit the bell notification little icon. That is basically going to give you notifications anytime there's a Shabbat or the Kurt Landry Podcast or any other type of content. If Rabbi Kurt's going live, you'll get that notification right to your mobile phone. If you're watching this on Facebook, just follow our Facebook page for daily and weekly content. And also, if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, thank you so much for listening and investing in this type of content. We really, really appreciate you. Just hit the follow button. Also, if you would give us a 5-star ranking, doesn't hurt to ask. That would really help us out. Leave us a review on Spotify or Apple. Well, that's going to do it for me. I'm really excited for y'all to listen to this interview. Enjoy.
Well, Daryl, hey, thank you so much. Listen, I've got a really special gift for you today on this podcast, and we've never done a podcast quite like this, but I've got an old and a very good time friend and a longtime member and one of the pastors at House of David. I've got Randy Williams, and the thing that's interesting is that just yesterday, he'll share what happened, but he had quite an amazing miracle surgery. And it's interesting that here he is the next day that he's here to be able to share with you. Now, listen, he's going to talk to you about a subject. Now, really, it fits in with everything I'm teaching right now about habits and patterns. But he wants to talk to you about particularly about habits and patterns. Listen, he's been a very successful businessman most of his adult life. He understands the power of discipline and habits and patterns. But he wants to share with you, and I really hope this helps set a hunger for you after the patterns of God and about the nature of the Lord is does not change. And if you can learn these patterns, it brings tremendous peace. So, Randy, I want to welcome you to the podcast here. And first of all, we just praise the Lord. So tell us, like, where were you yesterday? What were you doing?
This time yesterday, I was driving home from the Heart Institute, where I had had a aortic aneurysm repaired about 12 hours prior to that. So in the last 24 hours, I've gone to the Heart Institute, had the surgery, and have returned. And it's a miracle in and of itself.
Yeah, and you look great. So, and we were praying. And, you know, one of the things I want to share about this is it's interesting because we live in the same neighborhood. And, you know, the Lord moved you here, and you were obedient to come. But to think about the fact that here you are, you have this aneurysm, and your neighbor, our neighbor, is one of the top physicians in the United States in regards to this. And, I mean, to me, that shows like a pattern of, like, the steps of a good and righteous man and woman are ordered of God. I mean, isn't that amazing that literally you have this major medical need and the neighbor is the one? Share with us.
So it is fascinating. It shows me, it teaches us that we don't know when the Lord is putting someone in our life, the value of it, but we need accept that there is a value to it. So I went and had a screening, a common everyday screening. Mary wanted me to go get it done, so I went and had it done. And they performed the test, and the young lady that did the test got all nervous, and I thought she was going to start crying. And she said, you have a really big aneurysm. And I said, oh, okay, I don't, you know, that doesn't terrify me, but okay. And then they had all the technicians come over, and they said, you need to call a vascular surgeon within 24 hours and get in to see one. And I said, I don't even have a doctor. So calling a vascular surgeon is really out on that limb. And literally at that moment, the Lord quickened me to the fact that my next door neighbor,
that's right,
is one of the top vascular surgeons in the United States. And so I went out in the car and I called him. And he listened to me for about 30 seconds. I told him what I told him, and he said, stay right where you're at. I'm going to have a surgeon on the phone with you in 10 minutes. And I said, okay, that's probably pretty tall reach, but I'm good for it. In 10 minutes, the surgeon was on the phone with me. He called me. And so we set everything up. We got everything done. I went up for the first evaluation, and I'm going to tell you this, because this is starting to, now I'm going to kind of flow into the pattern of what happened. Please. This is when I went up for the first time. It was the Thursday before Passover, one day out. All right, and the surgeon said, okay, here's the situation. Let's do the surgery Tuesday morning. Well, we were having Passover Monday evening. And as I started to agree to it, I realized that Passover is not a choice. The Lord asks us to remember him in his feast. So I told the surgeon, I said, you know, can we go one more week? Because I got a meeting I've got to go to. And he looked at me. I could tell he was a little put off of the fact that I jumped through these hoops. And he said, okay, but he goes, I want you to know, I don't want you to pick up anything heavier than a pair of shoes. And I don't want you to do anything but sit still. Because if this has an issue there, we don't have any time to help you. And so we did that, and we went to Passover. Everything went great. We had our feet under the table, so I knew that we had sealed our future going forward for another year, because this was our 20th Passover that we had been to. And as I began to go through this situation with the doctors day before yesterday, and I went in, they began to say, I have no other issues. I don't have clogged arteries. I don't have high blood pressure. None of the things that are attributed to this, I don't have any of them. And even one doctor said, I don't even know why you're here. And I said, well, I have an aneurysm. We got to fix it. But as I began to unload that and understand what was happening, I realized this. It's the patterns. You set the pattern. The Lord honors the pattern. And so as they begin to tell me that this is unbelievable, this can't be happening, this can't be this, I realized, and the Lord showed me, we're connected to Israel. And that pattern is irreversible. And so as we went through everything, it became more and more and more apparent to me that our connection to our Lord and what we do is critical. And I think sometimes today, people want to think, they want to put the Lord in the box that they want him to be what they want him to be. They need him to fit their circumstance. Well, the truth is, it's just the opposite. He gives us the situation. He keeps his appointments. And if you show up or don't show up, that's on you. And so as we began to go through all of this, Mary and I were both really, really churning this out as far as was talking about it. We realized it was the patterns. It's the patterns. And as I've been studying over the past few months, I have really dove into a really deep dive into Torah and just trying to understand what it is that we believe. And as you go through those books, those first five books, and you begin to see what the Lord would lay out for the people to do, and it wasn't an expectation of, it's not a decision whether you want to or not. It's a decision, you need to do this. I'm asking you to do it. I'm telling you to do it. But as I see these patterns develop, I begin to realize that so many things in our life for the last 20 years have been so consistent. On Friday night, I'll give you an example. On Friday night, it's not a decision whether we're going to worship or not. It's not a decision. We're going. If we're here in this area where we can get to it, we're either going to go or we're going to stream. So it's not like, hey, do you want to go to church tonight? It's not. That's not the thing. And as we see these patterns evolve, and we see the goodness of the Lord, he says, I'll bless those that bless Israel. I'll bless you. And we truly believe that this procedure and process that we've just been through, even my surgeon, I'll tell you this, I don't take medicine, I never have. And yesterday at morning when he was discharging me, he stood and he looked at me for a long time. He didn't say a word. And I said, what are you thinking? And he said, I'm trying to decide if I'm going to put you on medications. I just looked at him. I didn't say a word. And he goes, I'm not giving you anything. Nothing.
Yeah.
He said, go home. Do what I've told you to do. Come back in 30 days. If everything's like it should be, you can go back to living your life just like you were. And he goes, don't change the pattern that you've established in your life.
Wow.
Yeah. So he wouldn't even put me on meds. And it's not saying that meds don't help people. They do. But in my personal case, he just said, I'm not doing it. And so that's what's evolved over the last few days. It's been a miracle scenario. I think the bigger miracle, though, Rabbi, is the Lord turning on the thirst to find out more, to go deeper, to lift up that rock and see what's under it, and to look into and discover the tiny, fine intricacies of our Lord and what he's done for us. And it's amazing. It's amazing. And they help us with these patterns. Because I've learned this over the recent few months, and it's this. I guess there's two ways to pray. Sometimes people pray, they pray to a circumstance. They have a need. You know, I have a bruised thumb, or I have a earache, and all those things are real. They need to be fixed, okay? And I've come to somewhat of the realization that that's a bit of a circumstantial prayer. Lord, I need you to fix this. But when in fact I've learned over this study here recently, look for the pattern that developed the problem and cut the root of that pattern. Cut the root, because that pattern is what the problem is. It's not, I got a sore thumb. It's maybe you shouldn't put your hand where you put it. And so I've learned, and we're learning, Mary and I are learning, that these patterns are a huge deal for us. And again, the Lord works in patterns, because from Genesis to Revelation, it's just a circle. He keeps repeating himself. And so it's been fascinating.
Well, I do want to say this is probably being your rabbi for
20 years,
and we've gone through a lot of stuff. We've gone through one of your grandchildren, definitely, according to the medical people, should have died. And to this day, the most major spiritual warfare I've ever been through. And it was interesting, while she was in her critical stage,
right,
we were on our way flying, Christy and I were flying to Israel. And so I think I want to go down this path about the pattern. Okay. So we're about the same age. I have no brown bottles in my house. We don't, it's the same story. So you have to ask, first of all, our ability, attendance to be in the house. Christy and I have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in airfare increases to fly back from nations to be here. And so it's the same pattern. But sometimes you're going to get put into a test. And we did with Livy is this was a major attack against one of your grandchildren who is very close to our family as well. So we're flying over to Israel. And by the time we land in Jerusalem, I'll never forget, we're literally in Jerusalem. We're at the King David Hotel, Christy and I, and we're praying with you. You're here. Or actually, you were in,
we're probably in Little Rock.
In Little Rock. And then we had another intercessor from South Africa.
Right.
So you've got, and these are high-level intercessory prayer. And I don't want to say this the wrong way, but we almost lost her. It was as close as, it wasn't a resurrection, but it was as close as you're going to get. It was a miracle. So it, sometimes you have to not only have the pattern, but you have to have the pattern of community. And that pattern in this was a three-stranded cord.
That's right.
We needed, if one put a thousand, two, and I know there was other people praying.
Right.
But this was literally hands-on. If I remember right, we actually linked voicemailed in from South. We were all after
all
this.
On the phone.
And that's when it shifted.
That's right.
So I want to talk to you about not only the pattern of fellowship, but the pattern of fellowship creates community for crisis. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I think some people, and I observe this, they're on and off. They're spotty with their when they come, but they're really excited when they get there. But I think the thing that people have to understand is you don't always have to walk out of that building or wherever it is you worship and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe what I just heard.
Right.
You don't, it's not that way every time. But what I have learned is I don't know what the Lord may have deposited in me, put in storage for another day that I may be able to call on it. And you know, when you talk about the sense of community, there are people there at the House of David that even this week, I was getting texts from people I didn't even know had my phone number. And, you know, it's you don't talk to them all the time, but it's your mishpachah. It's your family. And those connections are critical in this life as we all go down this road together and we're working it out one step at a time. You need your mishpachah, and the only way that you're going to really know them is you have to spend time with them. Whether it's 30 seconds or 30 minutes after the service or before the service, during the service, you know, when you're just there standing beside them worshiping, there is a connection. And the Lord, I know that the Lord honors and blesses those things because he's storing up in each of us the things that we need for later. And, you know, it's like this. These doctors told me that, you know, your veins are gigantic, your all these things. I wasn't surprised by any of that, truthfully. I was surprised I had aneurysm, and I've dealt with that in another realm. But, you know, when you go up there, and many times you'll say, I feel the healing's in the house, okay? Anybody that needs healing, raise your hand or come forward. I do every single time, and I have nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I don't know what's going on. Lord, you can see it. I can't.
I do too. I might have picked up something 10 minutes before I came in the building.
Who knows? And I may get rid of it before I ever knew I had it. And so I think that sense of community with your family, your that you're there with, it's powerful in our life. And it we need it in our life. We need it.
So one of the things that this is one of the things I want to share with you in this testimony. Is I want you to hear this. They're always watching. One of the most emotional, powerful times for me in this Passover, and this, I would say this year was the most powerful Passover we've had out of the 20, but I went and took a picture with your granddaughter, which I do every year. It's categorized. It goes from this to this. So anyway, and your grandson, but always with Livy. So anyway, but one of the things is I'm standing there. She's looking over at you guys, you know, and what a lesson to her that here's my grandpa. He has an aneurysm. Literally, the natural practical would have been, let's go in tomorrow and get this fixed, because if this thing explodes, you're gone.
It's over. It's over right then.
But yet you put the logic of the tree of knowledge of man and you put it over and you said, no, if I do it now, I can't, I won't be at Passover. It was more important. Man. How many people in the House of David watched that as a testimony? Because we always tell the younger ones, listen, you need to be with the Lord. You need to have your feet under the table. You need the attendance. And it's about an issue of the heart. But to me, the demonstration of faith, but by faith, I just want to thank you for doing it. But the lessons people are going to learn from this is absolutely amazing. So I thank you for your faith to trust God. And Lord, we just speak blessings over Randy right now. Yes. That all the healing that needs to take place with this would be complete and exceedingly abundant above all we could ask or think.
Yes.
I want to switch gears now. Now, you came out of the corporate world. You've been in sales and tractor trailer sales for years. And how did the patterns that you have had over the 20 years in your business, do you think following the Lord's patterns helped to prosper you, or were they a hindrance and a labor and they were a burden? What's the testimony?
Well, you know, Rabbi, I think that's a great question. And there you could take that answer a multitude of ways, but I'll tell you the answer that I have for that is, by learning about patterns and doing what I did for a living, I began to understand how people operate. And I never considered, what they wanted to do was what they wanted to do. What I was supposed to do and needed to do, that was totally on me. I wasn't going to bend my book, wasn't going to bend what I was doing to satisfy a need that they might have. And as I began to get stronger and stronger in that ability over a period of 41 years, my customers came to absolutely respect that, in the sense that they would go, okay, is that how it is? And I would go, yes, that's how it is. And I had long-term relationships. I had customers I had 25-year relationships with. And so the patterns that we learn in the book for our own lives play out perfectly in our business lives or in our corporate life, because it's about you and the Lord, not you and the customer. It's you and the Lord. And if he says, do this, it's what I have to do. And did occasionally there would be a hiccup? Of course there was, but occasionally I wanted rid of them anyway for some reason. But no, I think understanding patterns is critical in the business world, because people are as predictable, they're very predictable, and the Lord is even more predictable.
So I'm going to share with you, and I'm not trying to embarrass you or put you on the spot, but we've been close for a lot of years. So what's happened is, and I was in sales like you for many years, so I know how it works, and I had large clients that I had for repeat clients. The key is like, even when we went through COVID, you know, at House of David, we closed for a couple of weeks and we said, no, you know what? We're in the middle of nowhere. We're not doing this. And so that was our choice. And we got away with it. So to say, there was no backlash, but at the same time, you had all the stuff that, you're retired from that now. So I can bring it up. But you made a choice not to vaccinate, and that created some issues.
Yes.
And, but your bosses knew not to push it. So one of the things that people knew about you in the business, and I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me. What I'm saying is your bosses knew that your yes is yes and your no is no. And once Randy tells you something, then that's it. Good and bad, because I'm sure they wanted you just to vaccinate so that everybody would follow you.
So it fit the box.
Exactly. just like me, I had to tell the government, I had to tell Bibi Netanyahu's office, listen, no, you're coming. And I said, well, good, then write me a note that says I can't vaccinate.
I'm okay. Yep.
And he said, no. So anyway, so we didn't go. So, I mean, it's a similar, you know,
right.
You know, it's like, right. No, I'm not doing it. And my point is not about vaccinating, not vaccinating. I'm talking about the type of person you become. Your pattern is that if you say something, you meet it. So I've observed this because I know your business. You had all the top accounts in that business for years because your customers knew that. Mm-hmm. Same thing for me when I was in the fruit business. The reason I had Publix and Harris Teeter and those accounts is because if you ask Kurt to do something, then you know you're going to have deliverables. But the thing that's interesting about it is that you have your physical son, Jacob, and then you have two spiritual sons. So there's inside House of David at Passover. You have three younger, very successful tractor trailer salespeople that have followed your pattern. So I can say this. I know all three of them, and please, they're probably going to watch this, but I don't think you would have been following the pattern as tight if you didn't have Randy blazing the trail ahead of you saying, you know what, this is how it works. It's easier to follow spiritual patterns when there's a pioneer that goes out and you can say, well, they're pressuring me to do this and it's against my principle. So, I mean, do you agree with what I'm saying? I mean, look at the, I don't want to mention names, but the other, all three of them are very prosperous.
Well, I can tell you, yes, they are. And all three of them at the point in their careers where they're at right now, compared to my career at the same point, they're standing on my shoulders. I mean, they're light years ahead of where I was at the same time. But I do know this, and I trained all of them for years. I worked with them. And one of the things that I tried to impart to them and teach them was, you only have one shot at integrity. Once. And if you damage your integrity, you're done.
That's right.
You don't get it. I'll reestablish it. It doesn't happen. And so as we went through things, I began to show these guys there are patterns here that you, no matter what someone else does, it doesn't matter what they do. What matters is what you do. You're the only one that can set this pattern. And if you go in and you allow them to manipulate you and get you to do things that you know aren't right, you lose. You lose every time. You may get the deal that time. You won't get it the next time. And so you're right. These patterns that people, I so want to go and teach young people that are in this business, in business, about understanding patterns and understanding you don't get a second chance on a lot of things. And it may be painful when you look at someone and say, I can't do that. You may be sitting here thinking, I just lost a big paycheck, but it's okay because I'm going to get another one down the road. But I'm so blessed by these three and I get to see them constantly and I talk with them. Even now in retirement, I'm constantly, you know, talking to them and asking them questions, but patterns are critical.
So in closing, give us three, if you would, or more, but at least three. What are the top three patterns that you would want to speak to people that are watching this podcast? Understanding they could be a stay-at-home mom, they could be, a construction worker, they could be a CEO. I mean, our audience is wide and diverse. But if you were going to, from all the years of experience, what are the three patterns that would be top in aligning your life for spiritual success and physical success in the Lord?
I think, and I just mentioned it, but I'll expand on it slightly. The number one thing I would say is integrity. The Lord's integrity is perfect. There's no shadow in him. He does not turn. He does not change. He has established the boundaries for us. And so we have a perfect example of integrity. And we can follow it because he's shown us how to do it. The next thing I would tell you that people have to do is, and this is even for anybody, is quit saying the word maybe. Don't say the word let me think about it. Don't say, well, I'll get back with you on that. It's yes or no. It's that simple. Yes, I'll do it. No, I won't. And the thing about it is, I think a lot of people's careers are so damaged because they can't get an answer. And the answer that they don't get is what eats them up. They can't deal with it. And so don't be afraid to ask for a yes or no, and never tell a customer maybe. He doesn't want to know maybe. He wants to know yes or no. We're going to do it or not. And so there's that thing. And then maybe last is just be who the Lord made you. You don't need to fit a mold of, well, I know the guy in front of me was a great, great leader and he did all these things. Be who the Lord made. He made you perfectly. He made you without flaw. He made you just for the moment that you're in, just the way that you are. And if you will trust what he's done in you, then you can trust the results he's going to bring through you for his kingdom. Because he is going to bring forward the results he desires one way or the other. May as well be on the side of it that says, okay, Lord, I'll do it. If you've told me, I'm going to do this. But the thing is, I have people that sometimes say, well, how do we know? How do we know what the Lord thinks? How do we know? How do you know? Study. Go study. Go study. Go learn those ancient patterns that he set forward and why. I mean, I was reading the other day about when he came down off the mountain with the tablets and they were worshiping a golden calf. Comes down, breaks the tablets, and it's like everything changed. The next day, Lord has him go out and remove 3,000 men. The church went apostate at that moment in one night. I mean, and he said, take them out, okay? And it's because the Lord had already showed him the pattern. He said, do not have any other God before me. And they totally avoided it. So be who the Lord has shown you to be, who you are. Have integrity and let your yes be yes and your no be no.
I'm going to close with money. You're somebody that tithes and offerings. How many trips to Israel now?
16.
16 trips to Israel. And the scripture says, I will bless those that bless Israel, Genesis 12:3. So do you think financially that you and Mary, that has your practice and your pattern of tithing, offerings, and going to Israel, and you've been on a lot of service trips with us where we physically did co-labor with them. Do you think that those have had a positive influence on your finance or a negative?
Well, it's a great question. I could have a lot of fun with it because every year when we do our offerings, Mary and I will discuss it. And she'll always ask me, what are you thinking? What's the Lord telling you? And it's never more than half of what he's told her. I mean, she's always got the bigger number. But I will say this beyond a shadow of a doubt. There are times when we wrote checks that, you know, it's going to be close, and I know it, okay? But I can tell you unequivocally that there has never been lack in our house. There has never been a moment when I looked around and said, oh my, what are we going to do? And I attribute that, Rabbi, to our connection through House of David, to Israel, the people of Israel, the land, all the things that have happened over there. If someone asked me, would you do all of it again? I would say yes, and maybe more. Maybe more.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where Christy and I, we're at a place where we're at what I call the Oscar Schindler the end of the Schindler's List movie where he had the ring in the car.
Yeah.
He said, I could have done more. We're all at that place right now. And of course, the Lord is well pleased with all of us that we've done. Do you have anything else you want to say? And then I want to ask you to close us in prayer.
No, I am so grateful for all of those that have prayed for me, but over the years have prayed with me and have come in agreement and have withstood the test. And, you know, I think one of the things that I want to say this to people that may be struggling or have battles and they don't understand why they can't get past it, you're always going to have them. You have to make the decision. They're always going to be there, and I'm always going to overcome. Lord, you're going to overcome this, and you're going to be able to use me because I'm going to know how you do it and how you recommend we do it, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'll close with this. A friend of ours, and I think you know who it is, but anyway, to the ministry is, he's the... It's General Doron Omag. He's the president of the Jewish Agency right now. He's had many different positions. But when Christy and I went over right after October the 7th, addressing your issue, he said, could it be, Rabbi, that our people, that we got caught flat-footed with what happened in the South because we put too much focus on peace? And I couldn't answer him. I he's my brother and he's a friend. I just bowed my head and kind of shook my head. And what I realized is that when we left his office, I looked at Christy and Sam and I said, we have created an idol of peace. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you're addressing it very well, is that if your goal is to say, Lord, I know that I'm loved and spiritually successful when my life is calm and at peace, it's probably because you're not in the war you need to be. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because for us, it's as blessed as we are, the battle seems to, the battle doesn't cease, but we have learned to have higher level, higher devils. We learn to overcome. Well, I want to thank you for coming. And before we give this back to Daryl, if you would look into this camera over here and just pray for the people and just release the impartation of what the Lord's done in your life.
Lord, we just lift you up right now. And Lord, we declare that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Father, I declare that there is none like you. And as Lord, as people have listened today, I pray a blessing on them for be willing to listen. But Lord, I ask that you put an unquenchable thirst in them to go find the patterns, to go find the hidden things, the hidden treasures that are in your word. On every page there are treasures, and that, Lord, that they would find them and they would see things and they go, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And that they, Lord, that you show them how to use those things in their life, where they apply. And that, Father, you will bless them because of their willingness to learn and to try to understand that you and you alone are God. So, Father, I thank you and I bless you. I thank you in advance for my healing. And, Lord, I ask for healing for anyone right now that is struggling or suffering. And that, Lord, we lift them up and that we ask that, Lord, you would call their bodies back into the perfection in which it was created. Nothing missing, nothing broken, and that they would prosper as they walk out this life that you've given us. And I ask these things in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Randy, we thank you. Christy and I thank you. House of David, thank you for you and Mary over 20 years of service and love and respect in the congregation. And this testimony of really putting the Passover, this is tremendous. And we pray blessings on you and your family. But we just thank you for you, the Lord bringing you into our life, and we love and bless you very much. So anyway, we just want to thank you for joining us today on this podcast, and I'm going to give it back to Daryl. Thank you so much, and shalom.